Let me read to you Psalm 116, and then I'll make a few comments on that psalm. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Well, it's not known, I don't think, exactly what occasion this was when this psalm was written, but some speculate that it could have been when Saul was pursuing David, or it could have been when Absalom was pursuing him. But at any rate, David was spending much time in prayer and supplication to the Lord over the issues related to his remaining in this life. For he says in verse 3, the pains of death surrounded me and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Now it's interesting that he talks about the deliverance of his soul rather than the deliverance of his body. I'm sure he was concerned about that. I'm sure he was concerned to remain in the land of the living. But it was really his soul that he was most concerned about, and truly, you and I ought to be most concerned about our soul as well, even more so than our body and whether we live a day longer. But David says, I love you, Lord, because you heard my voice and my supplications. And he has this very wonderful pictorial view of God during his prayer of inclining his ear to him, like bending down low so that he could hear him, inclining his ear to him. In other words, that God took notice of David, and God was thinking upon David and would hear him. Of course, we must remember that we are always heard by the Lord based upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, finding that grace. David did not know the name of the Lord Jesus, but nevertheless he called upon the name of the Lord. And he beheld the Lord by faith in his heart, and he believed in his heart and mind that God would hear him and deliver him from this trouble and sorrow that he had come into. Whether it was a trouble and sorrow of being hounded around the wilderness by Saul, or whether it was a trouble and sorrow as a result of his being disciplined by the Lord as a result of his sin with Bathsheba, I cannot say, but it seems to me to be the latter. It seems to me to be the time when he was driven out of Jerusalem, and then eventually he was able to come back again. And during that time, the pains of death surrounded him and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of him. He didn't know whether he would live or die. He didn't know the outcome of this disciplinary action against him, but nevertheless, he had faith in God that God would hear his cries and deliver his soul from this trouble and sorrow as he called upon the name of the Lord. And you and I need to remember that when we're at our lowest point, when we find trouble and sorrow of various sorts or for various reasons, that we too would not give up or cease to pray, but that we would implore the Lord, that we would beg of him to deliver our soul. And it's interesting that the answer must have come fairly quickly for him, because it says in verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yes, our God is merciful." He says, "The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me." And then he has this satisfaction of being able to say to his own soul, "Return to your rest," in verse 7. "For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Let us remember that the Lord is abundant in mercy. He's full of loving kindness. He is ready to forgive. He is a God who takes notice of us in our afflictions, we who know him. And when we call upon his name, then he does deal bountifully with us, and especially with regard to our soul, so that even if we find ourselves on the deathbed, even if we find ourselves surrounded by enemies or people that would wish to harm us, even if we have been brought very low, that we can know that our God shall answer us and deliver our soul through that time. "Return to your rest, O my soul." It's most important that you and I find rest for our souls. We find that in Christ. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And what a great thing it is when we find rest for our souls, when we're not agitated continually in our spirit, when we're not always worrying and fretting over the things that we cannot change in our life, the things that are bothering us exceedingly. But we give them to the Lord. We cast our burden on the Lord, and he sustains us. "He will never suffer the righteous to be moved," says in Psalm 55. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me." This dealing bountifully with us is really quite an interesting phrase as well. It means that God has an abundance of grace to give to his people. He is abundant in loving kindness. There is a fullness in Christ which fills all in all of his people. And he can fill them with the riches of his grace and cause them to behold his glory and have a sense of his presence and favor and peace, and know that we have, as it says in verse 8, our soul has been delivered from death, and our eyes from tears, and our feet from falling. and we will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That was David's experience. What a gracious God that we have, that we can have these kinds of anticipations of what it will mean for us, even in the times of our distress. I think that's what Paul the Apostle means in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 when he says, I'm well content with distresses and persecutions for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We need to remember that it's not always necessary for us to be physically strong to know the presence and power and blessing of our God upon our lives. And indeed, we may be very physically weak and yet triumphing in Christ. And we need to understand that David knew this kind of deliverance in his soul, his eyes from tears, his feet from falling. It's easy to spiritually stumble when we come into trials and difficulties. We may be tempted to unbelief. We may be tempted to excessive sorrow and grief. We may not think that God has our best interests in mind when he permits the things that he permits in our lives, but really he does, and he will prove it to you, dear believer. In that time, when you exercise faith in him and pray, you will find that the Lord will deal bountifully with you. Now, David had reason to be discouraged because he was evidently, at that point in his life, there was a number of men surrounding him who had become his enemies, who should have been his friends. His own son, Absalom, his trusted counselor, Ahithophel. And these men turned against him in the time following his sin with Bathsheba. The Lord had forgiven David's sin, but these men thought to take advantage of David and turn against him during that time, thinking that the Lord was not for him any longer, no longer with him. But let us understand that if we truly belong to Christ, that the Lord is always with us, no matter what we go through, no matter what happens to us. It doesn't mean that we won't be under the discipline of the Lord at times. We may indeed be under his discipline, but that's because he loves us and because he will teach us and bring us out of that, even into the land of the living, if it's his will. It's only the unrepentant that he disciplines unto death, physical death. But that's what he's talking about here. I'll walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord has delivered me from the schemes of these evil men against me. And we need to remember that God is well able to deliver us when it is his time and according to his will and way, then he will most certainly do that. He says, I believe, therefore I spoke. Verse 10, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. In other words, he wasn't quite sure who he could trust at certain points. He felt that some of these men were lying to him, and perhaps they were. But he says, I said that in my haste, because not all men are liars. Some are, but not all are. And so we need to believe that God's grace works in other people as well, in marvelous ways that we cannot comprehend. And then he says, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Which teaches us that when we have been delivered and when we have been brought out of our trials and difficulties, we have a great need to be thankful to God and not just to take it for granted. We need to thank the Lord and praise the Lord that he's had such mercy upon us we who are undeserving and unworthy of the least of his mercies, and yet he has shown us this great mercy. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. We have a cup of salvation that we take up in the Lord's Supper each month. And we render thanks to the Lord for all of his benefits towards us. And we call upon his name and we pay our vows to him. That is the promises that we make that we will continue on in faith with him and in covenant with him in accordance with his word, confessing our sins where we find them in ourselves, and asking him to perfect what concerns us and to work in our hearts in the days to come, to change us where we need to change, and to grow stronger where we may have been weak. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And that's what David did. And that's what we do too. In our testimony before the Lord and before men, that he has been the one who has delivered our soul from death, and our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. And we walk before the Lord in the land of the living, trusting in him as we go. But sooner or later, we are going to come to the place where we will die. Unless the Lord returns, we will all face death, physical dissolution of our body. But even in this, we triumph. And even in this, we rejoice at what the Lord will do to bring us to his house forever, to dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. What a glorious thought it is. Our dear brother George Pakula is on the very verge of entering into the eternal glory. And just a few minutes ago, I got a text from Lyle. And he said this to me. He says, I'm trying to grasp what is about to happen when Dad leaves his worn-out body and enters the presence of the Lord in all his resplendent majesty. I said, truly, it'll be a grand entrance into glory. He says, I've been at the airport to say goodbye to people going away, but never sat next to someone who will be leaving for such an awesome destination. My dear Dad, into the presence of his Lord. And I thought that was very precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So even when it comes our time to die, the Lord is very closely, carefully watching over us, going to bring us to himself. And this is very precious to him. It's precious in his sight, and it ought to be precious in ours. And we ought to look at ourselves this way, as it talks about in verses 16 to 19. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. And I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So whatever prison David's soul was in, he was released from it. Whatever prison that George Pakula has been in now for some years, he's going to be released from it. And what a glorious thing that will be. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. And I think, too, of Psalm 23 in this connection, and those famous verses there that we like to memorize, and rightfully so. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great thing it is to realize that that will be the case with us who are trusting in Jesus, that the goodness and mercy of the Lord will follow us all of our days. Sometimes I think we don't think of it that way, but that's the way that the Lord promises that it shall be for each one of his people, that goodness and mercy, even though we may not be able to see it at times, is following us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great thing it is to contemplate. Well, does anyone have anything, any comments that they'd like to make, or any observations to offer up? Thought we might begin by singing hymn number 219 in the Trinity, which is blessing and honor and glory and power, wisdom and riches and strength evermore. Blessing and honor and glory and power, wisdom and riches and strength evermore, give ye to him who our battle hath won, whose are the kingdom, the crown, and the throne. Soundeth the hymn of the hymns with his name, ringeth the earth with his glory and fame. Ocean and mountain stream, forest and flower, echo his praises and tell of his power. Ever ascendeth the song and the joy, ever descendeth the love from on high. Blessing and honor and glory and praise, this is the theme of the hymns that we raise. Give we the glory and praise to the Lamb. Take we the harp and the psalm, sing we the song of the Lamb that was slain, dying in weakness, but rising to reign.